Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Nancy has a really great way of getting the person over here to talk about the most important things. It's not easy to do, and you do it really, really well. There's something that you're doing that is getting me to go to the most important, deepest level right away, which is where I like to live. But most times I'm interviewed, I don't have any way to get there naturally, so I don't go there. So thank you for that.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy, and Sally Doyle is today's sponsor. You can schedule a profit analysis with Sally for only $149. You can take charge of your money life, and we know we need to be doing that more than ever right now. And so Sally Doyle is the founder of Absolute Business Solutions, and she's known as a trustworthy bookkeeper, forward thinker, and someone who loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. You can sleep soundly knowing every dollar in your business is 100% accounted for. You're freed up to do the work you're good at and keep leading. So Sally Doyle, give her a call. She's a profit strategist, bookkeeper, and innovative thinker at Absolute Business Solutions, 1-651-208-8151. All right, everybody, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. We are in a changed world, and we're back behind the mic after taking the month of April off. It's great to be back. Today's the first of our podcast series. It's called In Times of COVID-19. This series is to inspire you and validate what you're going through in our changed world. When you hear how our small business community of emerging to experienced entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and small business owners are not only adapting, but generating new ways of living, learning, and meeting the needs of their end users, it will spark ideas and help you to keep moving forward. We've never had an opportunity that we've lived through quite like this to participate in global change. The emotional journey of innovation, really, we're seeing it, we're experiencing it. And the first part of change is to frame the problem. The hammer went down, cancellations ensued as our life as we knew it came to a halt. So in order to frame a problem, you have to move through shock, disbelief, and denial. So as business owners, we needed to move through this stage swiftly. This started mid-March. We needed to process information quickly and make financial decisions. Our business was either going to shut down, partially shut down, adapt to a new way of doing business while continuing, or in some cases, scale up. So hustling to change quickly happened the beginning of April. In my case, I canceled taping new episodes for the month of April so I could get my head around what to do. My mom passed away on March 12th. 2 days later, Olivia's school got moved home because we in our school district, we had the first case of COVID-19. So our superintendent in Robbinsdale took quick action to shut the school down. And from there, you know, everything just kept closing. Matthew moved home to home office. And initially, the first week, he lasted like 3 hours. He had none of his things at home. So he had to rethink everything. He needs several computer screens. He's in the real estate industry looking at lots of documents. And so he needed to do a lot of you know, rethinking how he's doing his work. We all needed to carve out workspace and readjust our schedules and move to online meetings. I decided to post past episodes I deemed relevant to at this time and for you, and moved individual clients online, a new online entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring labs. And I launched an online one on May 8th. Once the immediate crisis was handled, I caught my breath and moved into despair. Low energy, I needed more sleep. Spurts of anger kind of came out as the world began to become more chaotic and disturbingly quiet on the other end of things. But we kept going. The next phase, so, you know, once you frame the problem, like, how am I going to survive during this pandemic that we don't know how long it's going to be? The next phase is exploration, where you, on the journey of our livelihoods being threatened, which ignites feelings of the anger and disillusionment and despair, asking questions helps us sort out our feelings. So gathering information from a variety of reliable news sources, noticing what's going on around us, talking with people, you know, you've probably been doing the same thing. So asking questions like, where are we going? How long will non-essential businesses be shut down? Am I an essential business? Can I become an essential business? How do we adjust our entire life to physical distancing? How does that affect my ability to get my social needs met? How can I meet those needs without endangering someone else's life or my own? Measuring out the risk. So during exploration, we're sorting out and gathering ideas for different opportunities or different ways to enter into the market or shift or punt or pivot. As a global society, you can see how different approaches are working or not working, and new ideas start gelling and synthesizing as hostility surfaces as a way that moves along the ideation process. You know, what ideas will work for the population I'm serving? How can I quickly pull together a prototype to launch something new or adjust to meeting needs differently? Optimism surfaces once new ideas launch and you figure out what will work in this changed world that is in crisis and still hemorrhaging jobs. I interviewed our first guest in this series, really, in 2018, Peter Beaumont. Can you believe it, Peter? A couple of years ago.
No, it's I don't.
It's been too long.
It has.
Yeah. So
and a lot's happened.
Yeah, it has. It has. And I just feel like you've always been a huge inspiration to me as a business leader who commands so much respect from our communities that we're involved in. And thanks for joining me to kick off this series.
It's my pleasure. It always is. You put me through the ringer last time, so hopefully you'll be easier on me this time.
I know, three episodes worth.
Yeah, but they were fun.
I can't promise anything, though.
Okay, I didn't think you would.
So, Peter Beaumont, to just refresh your memory, if you hadn't tuned in, and I'll have your other three episodes in the show notes so people can get more of your background from entrepreneur to entrepreneur. You're a global leader, marketer, speaker, trainer, attraction system implementer, which is called Entrepreneurial Operating System. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you're an author.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I am.
You are one of those innovative thinkers and doers that just launched a first ever online meeting for small emerging growth companies, SEGC, on April 23rd as the organization's president. He's in the trenches with those of us evolving in how we lead as we redesign our businesses to serve populations of shut-ins and end users differently. Peter, you've lived in many parts of the world, certainly working all over the world. You settled into Minnesota life with your wife, Shelley, and three children in 2013. Mm-hmm. You found creative ways to plug yourself into the business community. Tell us how you acclimated to doing business in Minnesota and build such a solid reputation as a leader that we can count on, especially now.
Well, I'll do that. It's a two-part question, really. The first is how I managed to, I think, probably establish a network having moved up here. We moved to Chicago in 2008, and that was the first time I'd come to the US, or at least moved to the US. I'd been visiting for many years. But I think I had a natural inclination to form relationships. As you know, I wrote a book, at least a draft, as we'll call it, and published the first draft in 2014, and it's still being worked on. But it was called The Relationship Roadmap. So I obviously had some knowledge and experience and background about how to form relationships, and a lot of that I learned when I was with the Coca-Cola company. But I'd also traveled extensively, as you referred to. I've lived in 13 different cities in 8 different countries. And so you either become a cave dweller and a hermit in a situation like that and just withdraw. But normally, if you move around like that, you're the opposite. You if not naturally gregarious, you certainly know how to establish relationships and get around places that you don't know very well. You adapt very quickly. And I think that's helped me throughout my years. And of course, so when we moved here, my wife is from Minnesota, so she settled in pretty quickly. But because what I've just described, I think that helped me settle in as well. And so I joined a lot of networking groups. I used Meetup to see where good things would be held. And it's interesting when networking is, if you do it for the right reasons, instead of just looking to get business, and I mean that sincerely, if you look to help others and just do it to meet interesting people, it'll play forward. And so it's a bit like throwing a pebble in the pond, or in Minnesota, I suppose, a lake, because it ripples out quite quickly into other people's networks. And so although it seems slow at first, all of a sudden you start walking into rooms after 18 months or 2 years, and you actually know quite a lot of people in the room, which was not the case when I first moved here. So that's the first part of the question. And then the second is, as that relationship, those relationships grew, I was offered the opportunity of taking over the Twin Cities SEGC, or Small and Emerging Growth Companies. And that became a leadership role, which I grew into and started to love, because it filled a community gap for a lot of people. And although it isn't, it doesn't fit exactly with what I do as a career, I work with companies that are larger than solopreneurs. I am a solopreneur. So I feel part of that community, and I feel part to help that community is important to me. And so as we move into the crisis, I felt it was incumbent upon us to try and help bridge a lot of gaps for people at a time like this that we're going through. So I think that's kind of answered your question.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Your ability to form relationships and find your way around, you've got kind of a real knack for it. You launched the first ever online Small Emerging Growth Companies meeting on April 23rd. I was part of that meeting. There were 55 people who logged on to Zoom. And what went on behind the scenes, you didn't just hold the meeting where everybody logged in and you know, there was no presenter. You had asked questions right on the spot, and then we dispersed into different Zoom rooms and came back together, which was very seamless. Maybe not from your perspective, but...
You never know, do you?
Yeah, that's right. So I was just wondering, you know, what went on behind the scenes from when you got the idea, which you just described, worked on it with your board of advisor, organized the details, and collectively did whatever it took to launch this new way of connecting and interacting?
All right, good question, because there's a lot to unpack there, in fact. So I'll try and do it in steps. So we skipped our March meeting because it was early on in COVID, and we really didn't know, nobody knew early part of March how this thing was going to develop, I don't think.
Right.
If they did, they were something on the stature of Merlin. But the wizard, that is. So there right. was no way we knew how this was going to go, I think, and how quickly it was going to move. So we just decided we'll just It's probably not wise to have everybody in a room, even that early. It's insensible and probably even irresponsible, because I think people would have still attended at that stage, but we just felt it was the wrong thing to do in all good conscience. So we just skip a month and see what happened. And then it became apparent that things were not going to improve. In fact, they were going to get worse. And as I reached out and spoke to people and said, look, we're thinking of doing a meeting like a webinar, doing it online virtually, that it started, people reacted very strongly, very positively strongly to that idea. This is a time when we need to be, talk to like-minded people, be able to download what we think and feel. And so just having a speaker, as we normally do, didn't seem the right format. It felt wrong. That would be much more of a webinar where everybody, and what I've learned, by the way, on this small journey is with Zoom and most of these other technologies, a webinar is not the same as a meeting at all. A webinar is really a download with three panelists, maybe four panelists. You don't see the other people on the call. In order to speak, they hold their hand technologically, and somebody unmutes them, allows them to talk, or they just communicate in the chat. So it's very much one way, but you can try and make it two way. I wanted to make it two way, and the board agreed. We had to. So I brought the board in very early on to help you brainstorm this. And what transpired is that how do we create an environment where we don't have a panel, which could have been a bit stilted. And then we realized we'd done something at CGC years ago called Ask the Experts. And Wynne Davis, who formed the group back in, 16 years ago now, he used to introduce something called Ask the Experts. And it was, what's on your mind, right at the beginning of the meeting, what's on your mind? What are some of the things that are worrying you? And we'll come back to them later and try and solve them as a group, because the experts actually exist in this room. Most of us have done things or experienced things that we can share with the rest of the group.
Yeah.
And I think that built that vulnerability that I feel is so important in the group, where people are willing to learn from others and not think they know all the answers. And so that was, I think, probably the cornerstone. Once we sort of saw that as being the theme, we then had to see how that would work in practice. And so I did a lot of research on Zoom and came up with the fact that you could run breakouts. And you could, it was rather a powerful concept, really, because you could press a button and you could send all these people to rooms. Goodbye.
Yeah. See you later.
it was incredibly powerful. It felt like something out of Star Wars. So the... We rehearsed. We went through a rehearsal, looked at all the buttons that could be working, and we suddenly realized we needed to run this properly. I could not do it and facilitate, which is what I really do at SCGC meetings. I really facilitate it and allow people the opportunity to talk and interact. And so I could not facilitate using a PowerPoint, but at the same time, make sure the breakouts work. So we figured out that I could make other board members co-hosts, and they stepped up big time to facilitate people coming in on the meeting. That was the next thing. How do we make sure people don't just sit there in a waiting room? And so as people came in, we asked them to type in the chat who they were, what company they represented. So it was a little bit like our elevator pitches, but they were doing it as they entered, and people could see this flow of chat. So whilst everybody was feeling comfortable and they felt involved straight away, that was a really important point. I've just finished a blog saying, how do you make people feel engaged in a virtual environment? And that was one of the things that we did straight off. The next thing was we'd done a survey ahead of time. We actually went out to all the people, over 400 people who are actually registered in my email list, and said, look, we want to hold a virtual meeting. What would you be interested in hearing about? What are the things on your mind? And we had over 35, I think, surveys back, and we boiled them down to six subjects out of that survey. Do you want to know what the subjects were, just out of interest?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, so the six subjects were how to build relationships and provide value, what will the new world and economy look like, how to pivot to new opportunities and message them, best practices from virtual meetings from one-to-one webinars, for building a solid business foundation for post-crisis, and then effective ways to be productive. So, and by the way, as I said, there were 30 different inputs, but those were what we put into six buckets. They kind of fitted into those six categories. And so what we did, again, second level of engagement, was to ask everybody almost as soon as they came on and finished the chat and I introduced the meeting, was to say, hey, so thanks, everybody, for, you know, giving us some ideas of what you want to talk about. What we're going to do later, and we'll talk you through it, is divide you into breakout rooms so you can discuss this in small groups. It would be, it's far more productive to do that, we think, and I think you'll agree when you've gone through it. So how about you vote for the three subjects that you would like to hear most about out of those six? And we did an instant poll.
I love that. I love that you could do that instantly while we're right there. So that was another level of engagement.
Yeah, it was really cool, and it's seamless, really. You've got to prep it before you obviously get into the meeting. So I'd already prepared it, and then Zoom make it easy just to say, open the poll, and you open it, present it. And what impressed me even more is how quickly people did the vote. And you can see as people – it's a bit like watching – one of these, you know, when they do these marks on ice skating or Olympics, you see the board going up with all the judges doing their mark. You can watch how this tracks. And so I could see pretty quickly or say to people, hey, I've just got three or four more of you to go and then we'll be full. And then when I could see that everybody had completed three choices, I could instantly show the result of the poll. And then what we did then is one of the board members, Craig Espignon, then just took note of the three top subjects. And then we continued with the meeting. And what he did then was start dividing up the breakout rooms in the background so that when we got to that part of the agenda, we would seamlessly split everybody into breakout rooms. And it was random, but we had to make sure how many breakout rooms we needed. So what we decided was, as we had actually, as you said, 55 on the meeting, that we'd split it into six breakouts so that we had roughly six to seven in each group, so which was a good split. So that was really how I think we got engagement very quickly early on.
And it was really great because once you got in the breakout rooms, I liked the fact that we could see, so it was small enough so everybody was on the screen. There was a facilitator who made sure that each person had a chance to express, you know, or answer the question or talk about it in certain ways. But you said that when everybody came together, there was kind of like, even though there were six different questions, there was kind of like the same theme.
it's funny you say that. So I think it was very interesting. Everybody gravitated. So the first thing is they all disappeared into their rooms. And one of the things that I liked about the way this is set up is if you need help, you can call for it. And then Craig would suddenly appear like Batman.
Yeah.
You know, boom, into your room.
the secret participant.
Right. So, but I have to tell you a story before I tell you, just go into that, because it's really funny. So we practiced. Now, what I didn't say is we did a number of dry runs, the board and myself. It took a lot of time. I mean, it took a chunk of time to get this done properly. But we were all committed to making sure it worked properly. If you do something like this, you have to do it properly, because it can unravel very fast. If you know, and people will just jump off. I mean, we had 55
right.
people stayed on right to the end. We only lost three, and they warned me before that they had to jump off because they had something else to go to. So you can tell very quickly if people are engaged or not, because they will leave if they're not. Unlike them just sitting there and looking at their phone in a physical meeting, they can just leave, right?
Yeah, so you're either tuning out or checking out.
Yeah, they literally tune out. They go.
Right.
So we decided there were a couple of bells and whistles and that weren't really applicable under the meeting pro version of Zoom, and we wanted some extras, optional extras, let's call them.
So yeah, plus you can only meet for 40 minutes before you're kind of booted off, although some people have been stretching
if you've got the free version. We've gone to pro to be able to not do that. But there were things like holding your hand up so that we could mute everybody that we wanted to build in, which is not in the meetings package. It's in the webinar package. There's chat just between the panelists and everyone in the webinar package, not in the meeting package. So there were things that we wanted. So we thought, logically, well, let's go to the webinar package. It's an extra $15. So then you're up to $40 a month, by the way. But let's do that. If we're going to do it properly, let's do it. And then we'll have all the bells and whistles. So we upgraded, and I had a tryout with Craig, one of the board members, on the Tuesday, and the breakout rooms weren't showing. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe it's just because it's the two of us trying this out, hoping. So right. Then I had a dry run with the rest of the board on the Wednesday afternoon. Don't forget the day before the meeting. So this was now our third dry run, and still the breakouts weren't showing. I put a call into Zoom, and you might as well try and call Mars right now, because Zoom is over. unless you're calling the salespeople, the support people are inundated. Yeah. So we had to make a decision by 7 o'clock that evening as to if they didn't come back to me, what would we do? Would we postpone the meeting a week until we could figure out why the breakouts weren't working? Or, as a couple of us have concluded, meetings and webinars are two totally different things. And just because you've upgraded, breakouts don't necessarily work in a webinar environment. Oh, the light went on, the things that you suddenly have to learn. So now I was faced with a real issue, which was I'd sent out already a link to the webinar, but that link would not work in a meeting scenario. So what do we do? So I called each member of the board and said, got a decision, which way are we going? And everybody said, I suggested we went with it anyway, and everybody agreed. And so what I did at 7:23 was sent out on Meetup, on our LinkedIn group, and to email to everybody that's signed up, hey, the link's changed.
Yeah.
Thinking that would be a disaster, frankly, because why would, you know, in the real world before COVID, I doubt very much if people would have checked. They'd have just gotten the cars the next morning and gone. And so I think because of the environment we live in, people do check because that's what they've been doing now. And so we had, as you know, 55. To my knowledge, we lost about 6 that did not find the new link. It was too late by the time they found it, and we were halfway through the meeting. So it was a big call, but it taught me 2 things. Rehearsal and dry runs are incredibly important, and I'm so glad we did them. Secondly, you've got to have a board that really wants to do it, because it would have been so easy for most of the board to have said, nah, let's just leave it a week, Peter, make sure we get it right. So, yeah, a couple of learnings there. And I went off at a tangent, what I call tangent alert. Sorry about that. But I think it's important when you do something like this. It's like any meeting, prepare, prepare, prepare. But particularly in this environment we're in now, where we're reliant so much upon technology and understanding what it will deliver for us.
Well, and that's a lot of what we underestimate when we're trying out new things and launching, you know, after you build the prototype, right? So you build the prototype of what the meeting was going to be and how you're going to launch, then doing the practice runs. There's a huge learning curve. You know, you had to learn the software. And so you took the time to kind of learn the software and the different packages and then had to readjust at the last minute. But because you had enough of the knowledge foundation of how the software works, you could figure out where the glitch was when the support team didn't respond quick enough from Zoom.
Didn't respond at all. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Never got back to you.
But you're right. That's a very good summary. And, you know, fortunately, I'm a process-driven sort of person in what I do. So it was a methodical, you know, why is there a logical work through this, like you would a spreadsheet? But so your original question it's a really good one, which is the observation that I'd made when we talked together about how we had these 6 subjects, which I just went through. And the top 3, by the way, that were chosen were how to pivot new opportunities and message them. That was the number 1 with 75% of the vote. The second one was building a solid Business Foundation for Post-Crisis, which took 50%, 2% of the vote. Don't forget it was multiple votes, three. And then the last one at 50%, so pretty close, was what will the new world and economy look like? Well, it's really interesting. When the groups played back, so they went into breakouts, as we described, and then I asked spokespeople to represent their group when we got back to the large room, much as you would in a workshop, and from their tables, from their virtual tables, deliver back to us what the group talked about and what were the main parts of the discussion. Few of the groups stuck to any of those, any of the things that their room was supposed to stick to, but they blended them all. So each group ended up talking about three or four of those six categories, which made me realize this was really needed for people to be able to download in an environment which they felt was safe with like-minded people, in as much as they're going through the same things as solopreneurs and small businesses, but not just on a business footing, on a personal footing as well.
Yeah, it was really well executed. And you are known for running, you know, really fun and developing a really trusting relationship. And so you're setting up the environment for people to take risks, to try something new. And this was a good example of how much support also you have in going forward, because your next meeting is May 21st. And this time you're going to do something a little different. You're going to implement a speaker.
right.
Yeah.
Right. So we are. So yes, nice segue. So I'll use another one. You said earlier, as a way of introduction, that we all went through shock, disbelief, and denial.
Yeah.
I'd add a fourth one to that, which is fear. And I think it's been a fearful time for all of us, to one extent or the other. And you can look at the pendulum, and some have been incredibly fearful, and some have not felt it so great. And so we felt, how is a good way to deal with this? Because there's so many facets to fear.
Yeah.
I just wrote an article a couple of weeks ago, which I published on LinkedIn, about how fear can be a good thing. It actually makes you focus on the things that matter. But we had a speaker some couple of years ago to SCGC who called Eric Gabrielson, and he's written a book and published it called Our Fear Never Sleeps. In fact, I went to the book launch at the end of last year, and I won't get into it too much, Nancy, but just to tee it up, I think, is he and his wife went through a pregnancy that seemed fairly normal until they got to one of the final checks, and a nurse noticed something on the screen that didn't look quite right. And to cut a very long story short, a doctor took quite a long time before he came back in the room and said, I'm sorry to tell you that your baby has a severe form of CDH, which is congenital diaphragmatic hernia. Now, I didn't know what that was either, but it occurs in the diaphragm. The muscle that separates the chest from the abdomen fails to close during prenatal development. And that opening allows contents of the stomach, actually entire contents of the abdomen, stomach, intestines, and liver, to migrate into the chest, which impacts the growth and development of the lungs. So the bottom line is this baby had a very low percentage of living if born. So they were giving them the one alternative, which was to stop the birth, to cessate. The second is, if you did have it, may not survive. And third, if you did, it may be even worse, because what you'd have to go through may result in divorce because the stakes were so high. So talk about somebody who's lived through fear. What he went through and how he chose the hospital is a story that I'll let him tell. But it demonstrates how our fear does never sleep in many ways, and how best to deal with it. And he's made his career actually took off as a result of it, because it taught him a lot of things in the area that he was teaching companies how to work together as teams. And he saw this firsthand with the hospital he actually selected to. By the way, the birth went, it was pretty intense, as you can imagine. His son is fabulous. I've met him. He skis. He's a downhill skier. It's a very emotional story. And I've asked Eric to not just tell the story, But what lessons can we learn from this? So we're going to do a little bit of both. And by the way, you're the first to hear this because I haven't told the board that this is my idea yet.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
And so yes, you've heard it here first. They may, of course, reject the idea, but I don't think so. So Eric and I spent some time walking through it, and I think he's going to tee it up with his story and some of his learnings, and then we're going to do breakouts again because they went so well, and run it as a workshop as to how we can deal better with this kind of thing in our lives. And so I think it's going to be a very it's high risk again, right?
Yeah, right.
but I think it's something that people will revel in and get very engaged in, and it's something that's needed right now in our culture and society as we muddle through this thing together.
Well, in the phrase that you used with high risk, a person is willing to take a high risk when you know that people really need this right now. So that's how you kind of work your way into taking another risk with this, with all the, anxiety and all the other things that go along with it. You're willing to take that risk again, not only because now this last time it worked, but also you're feeling really compelled that this is information that people need to learn, and the breakout sessions are worth it if people can help with processing all that we're going through during this very innovative time.
That's right. And so, and well put. And so I should give the board credit. I mean, we all agreed that we were going to do the fear thing, and everybody agreed. I just haven't discussed with them the way that we'll probably work through that, in fact. But we're all on board that this is what's needed and what, you're right. Absolutely right. So yes, it is a risk, but it's based on knowing, I think, our group, and it is a special group.
Yeah. Well, and when you talked initially about how you engage the people in this, I think your first engagement was when you sent out the survey, because that's when people began to gather, start questioning things. And you're excellent about gathering a lot of information so that you have a really good understanding of what the members are experiencing, so you know how to put together the next speakers. So
yes, thank you for that. Yeah, that's true. And in fact, I'm sending out, I got back from all of the team leaders, for want of a better word, who were spokesperson, should I say. They all sent me a summary of what was discussed. So I'm going to send that back out to all the attendees. And in fact, everybody on the email list, because why should we just keep it to the attendees? Showing that what kind of discussions were going on, because I think that'll help people work through this as well.
Yeah. So your heart's definitely in the right spot, and there's huge payoffs to that. So if you would like to join May 21st, I will have Peter's contact information. You can also look him up on LinkedIn, and he'll send you a LinkedIn invite. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else you would like to add, Peter, before we close out our conversation for today?
I think only one thing. I've had to learn how to generate humor when you can't get feedback from an audience. Do you know what I mean by that? So it's most people who use humor have learned to read the reactions of people in the rooms, really well. And it's difficult to do in this virtual environment because you've got a lot of screens and you're not tracking all of them, right? It's not like looking somebody in the face and seeing them smile or nod or...
But there's an energy in a live audience that you can pick up on and play with. Yeah, that just isn't there, the virtual realm.
It's like being in a vacuum somewhat. So I've had to learn to pick up on different cues or just trust that it's working.
Yeah, and laughing
and
at yourself.
Too, I tell you.
Oh, very good. Well, it's been a delight. Thanks for launching this. And I will continue to bring you podcasts that are meaningful, conversations that help you to retool, get energized, validate what you're experiencing right now. And we're all going to get through this on the other side. We just don't know what it's going to look like right now, but we're starting to get some ideas. And I want to share those ideas of what people are doing in the world right now that are helping us all move forward and giving us some inspiration, even even if it's for just a few minutes of a day, it can really spark a new idea that you might launch later as you're becoming very, very in tune with what people need right now. As business owners, we need to keep our creative energies going to meet the needs of those that we're serving. So thanks so much, Peter. We'll see you at the May 21st meeting, and we may talk before then, which would be great. And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, Mon Frere. I've missed you, buddy. Okay, we're here now, 6 feet apart, almost. Okay, we'll see you. We'll see y'all next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to evolve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our We Mentor Self-Leadership community. You can subscribe for free through wementor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in these all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a We Mentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in We Mentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out wementor.com. You can email me, Nancy at wementor.com, or call me 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening, and we'll see you next week.